After more than a year and a half of painful closures, Arizona border businesses are finally breathing a sigh of relief this week. The Biden administration announced earlier this week that it will reopen our southern border to fully vaccinated travelers in November. Our Hermosillo Bureau has covered this throughout the pandemic and spoke with longtime Nogales business owner Evan Corey when the news came down.
For 19 months now, we've been waiting, and at first, it was every month we'd wait till the 21st to see if they're going to open. And of course, it didn't. You know, we got used to this rhythm of expectation and disappointment.
After 19 long months, though, he said he's unsure how resilient businesses will be.
We're going to have to wait and see how the community bounces back.
But the economic ties between Arizona and our neighbor to the south go beyond border towns. According to the Arizona Chamber of Commerce, before the pandemic, Mexican nationals spent an estimated $7 million per day in Arizona's tourism economy. I spoke with Andrew Seeley, president of the Nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute, more about it.
You know, I think the first thing is these are deeply connected communities across the border. And so it means that you know, families have been divided, unable to visit each other in the ways that they used to, at least for the people on the Mexican side to get onto the U.S. side. And it's meant for businesses that depend on cross-border travel, on customers who come across the border. They really have not had the customers that they depend on. And so it's been a huge hit to the bottom line for a lot of border businesses. But also, you know, these are communities that don't exist in isolation from each other. So, I mean, it really has been a blow to the entire ecosystem at the border and ways that people live both socially but economically as well.
Yeah. So border communities are definitely feeling the brunt of this, but the ripple effects go beyond that. What do you see in terms of what this reveals about the really intertwined economies we have here across the border?
Well, you know, we've built up two intertwined economies between Mexico and the United States. It's obviously more intense at the border, right? At the border is where the rubber meets the road, where, you know, trucks with goods go back and forth, and where people have the densest relationships with each other, the deepest relationships with each other. But it is, you know, it is a tale of two intertwined economies. And so when there is no ability for people to move back and forth, it makes a dent in that. Now, for the most part, the governments have been able to keep the major commercial activities going, the commercial activities of goods that are, you know, coming into each other's countries, car parts and cars themselves and, you know, machinery and electronics. And so some of that is carried on. But a lot of the smaller businesses and medium-sized businesses have been really deeply affected by this.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. Like, we often hear in Arizona, especially, that Mexico is our number one trading partner over and over, right? Like, what does this mean in terms of the broader economies in these two states?
You know, it's a big part of the economic livelihood of Arizona and, of course, Sonora on the other side in Mexico. And even people who don't realize that they're tied into this, right, are often tied in secondary ways, right? Even if, you know, clearly people who work in, you know, stores that depend on cross-border customers or industries where part of the production is on the Mexican side and either part of the production is on the U.S. side or the marketing and the, you know, the business operations are on the U.S. side, obviously depend on this, right? And when it gets interrupted by border restrictions, it takes a huge cut to the profit margin and sometimes the ability to keep people employed in those businesses. But that has secondary effects, right? Because so much of the economy, you know, those are the people who get laid off or are, you know, businesses that are running on very slim profit margins or losing money also then can't make the kind of investments that they would do normally, right? And the kind of consumer purchases for people that were employees. And so it has a ripple effect across the entire economy in Arizona that people who are not directly tied may not realize initially. They may just see it as part of the whole COVID effect, but it's a very specific part of the COVID effect. And it's the slowdown and the loss of integration with Mexico.
So what does this mean that things are opening up at least to some extent here? Like, I can't imagine this will be like flipping a switch and things are back to normal. There's a lot of recovery to be done.
Yes, there is. And obviously there are businesses that have disappeared. There are people who've laid off, you know, employees that's going to take them a while to staff up and they'll probably have to get going again. And look, there are patterns that may have changed, right? I mean, I can see, particularly for some of the U.S. businesses near the border, and the border, by the way, is not just, you know, Yuma and Nogales, it's also Tucson. And it's sometimes even Phoenix, right? I mean, people move from Mexico to parts of Arizona to do shopping, to engage in tourism, to do all sorts, to see family members, and they buy things while they're there. You know, it is very possible that people's habits have changed, right? And that some of the cross-border purchasing, some of the cross-border activities that happened before won't come back because people have lived for a year and a half, more than a year and a half, by making do in different ways.
Yeah.
And so we don't really know what's going to happen. These are disruptive events when you know, people can't move around for a year and a half. Of course, the biggest thing for, you know, people's quality of life too, is going to be a lot of families are going to get reconnected in ways that they haven't for a long time. They're going to see relatives and, you know, friends and colleagues that they just have not had a chance to be face to face with in a year and a half.
Yeah, that'll be a big one. All right. Andrew Seeley, president of the Migration Policy Institute, joining us to talk more about this. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time.
Pleasure to be with you.